Look, I'm going to spend an hour with you guys and give you a bit of a run through about what we're doing with Windows, what we're doing with some of our devices. I'm Nathan Mercer. I basically look after our third-party Windows tablets from all of our valued OEMs like HP, Dell, Lenovo, Acer, Asus, Toshiba, Panasonic, Motion. And I also look after our first-party devices, Nokia and Surface. And I guess, you know, every single person in this room knows how hot devices are, how hot mobility is. And look, it's just going to get hotter and hotter. There's so much innovation happening around chips, around form factors. You know, at the moment, only about 43% of consumers actually have a tablet. Probably every single one of you guys in this room does. You know, by the end of this decade, we are expecting 99% of people that are employees in businesses to be using a tablet, you know, in some way, shape, or form. So there's some pretty, you know, interesting things that we're gonna talk about today. I'm gonna kind of show you the range of kind of different Windows devices that are out there at the moment. Give you a bit of a glimpse about some of them that'll be coming out before the end of the calendar year, and also a little bit further into kind of early next year as well. So, you know, you've probably seen some of the other kind of Microsoft presentations here, and the fact that we've gone from a PC on every home and every desk to a devices and services company to a cloud-first, mobile-first company, and now a platform and productivity company. You know, it really means that we're putting our applications onto the devices that people use, all the different sorts of screens people are using, whether that's a Google screen, an Apple screen, you know, or a Microsoft screen. I think we're going to make a pretty interesting, comeback with some of the stuff that we are going to be releasing in the Windows space, over the next few months. And you'll hear some kind of interesting announcements about what we're doing with Windows just in the not too distant future. But really, you know, our heritage has been in platforms, it has been in productivity. It's really all about what we can do to help people get stuff done. And we think that even though we are, you know, kind of behind in the phone and the tablet space when people think about mobility, we still think we've got a pretty unique opportunity to bring together all the different apps, devices, you know, social networks. And really one of the things you're going to hear a lot from us is this digital work-life experience. The fact that people are carrying around multiple devices, people have this dual persona, you know, work and life is really kind of merged together, these days. And one of the things I think we can really help people do is just get more stuff done, you know, to really, really help out with that valuable commodity, which you can't get any more of, you know, which is time. So, one of the things that we're going to, you know, talk about over the next few months is how we are going to take Windows to all sorts of different screen sizes, from the smallest screens, from the Internet of Things, all the way up onto kind of large, you know, interactive 82-inch perceptive pixel, you know, interactive kind of whiteboard style, you know, devices. And we're also going to continue to invest in what, you know, in our first-party devices, obviously, you know, with Surface, and with Windows Phone, and Nokia. And I think, you know, Surface gives us some interesting experience actually about what it is like to be an OEM and what it is like to sell, you know, Windows to consumers. And what it's like, the consumer experience buying an OEM device that's full of crapware. So there's some interesting things that we're, you know, really learning about Surface. And about being a Windows OEM. So, one of the things that our CEO, Sat, just talked about, the fact that we're not going to be bound to one app, one device, you know, in one place. And really, if you think about something like a phone or a mobile device, it's kind of useless without a cloud and without an internet connection. And a device itself is also kind of useless without an app. And really, you know, those two things coming together is really where the magic happens on these different devices. So we're really going to be accelerating the roadmap, the release cadence of the stuff that we're doing in Windows across all those different screens that I mentioned. And this really is us embracing, you know, mobility and cloud. And we've also made some big leaps and bounds already in terms of converging our application platform, so you can write an app once, you know, to go across the phone, to go onto WinRT, to go onto the, you know, the modern experience. And this will get even, you know, better in the not too distant future. And we do this through the lens of always being, you know, an enterprise grade company, you know, group policy, BitLocker, all those kind of things that probably a bunch of you as IT pros in the room, you know, use every day. So, you know, one of the things that we've worked pretty extensively on over the last 6 months or so is we want to get our devices into more people's hands. And one of the big ways of doing that is to lower the price of these devices. And so, you know, we've worked with about 50 different what are called ODMs, you know, in China that kind of make a whole bunch of these different devices for all the OEMs in the world. And we've worked with them to create about 86 new reference designs, and a bunch of these will be coming into New Zealand, you know, before the end of this year. And I'll talk about some of these devices, you know, in a minute. And this is really going to substantially lower the cost of these devices. So you think about, you know, your customers, your friends, you know, your kids that are making buying decisions about what sort of device they're going to buy based purely on the price of a device. You know, they might go and look at an Android device, they might go and look at a Chromebook, they might go and, you know, they've only got $250 to spend or something like that. And in the past, we've never had a good story about actually having a Windows device at that kind of price point. That's all about to change. So we're really going to enable these reference designs to get down into that, you know, much lower end kind of commodity, you know, sort of price point. And we're really doing that by, you know, investing some of our resources into the engineering, design, you know, and the business side, of these ODMs, and also having a direct partnership with Intel to actually create some modern, you know, hardware, kind of cutting edge hardware design, you know, reference designs to kind of bring that down into the, you know, into the low end as well. From the business side of things, what we've also done is we basically make Windows available for free for devices that are under 9 inches. And we've also done a bunch of work inside Windows to actually make it work now on a gig of RAM and 16 gigs of disk footprint. So we've tweaked some of the kernel stuff in terms of the way that it does memory management to make it work on a gig of RAM. And we've also done some interesting stuff that some of you might have heard about before called WIM Boot to actually enable Windows to run in this kind of 16 gig of disk footprint. And you might be thinking, oh, you know, 16 gigs, you know, I'm only going to have, you know, 2 or 3 gigs of disk space free to install my apps. When you install a version of Windows 8.1 Update 1, which came out back in April on a 16 gig machine, you've still got about 12 gigs of disk footprint free, and you've actually still got the OEM recovery partition or the WinRE partition on that device. So it's actually still a pretty good experience for a, you know, for a user, you know, kind of buying one of these low cost devices. This WIM Boot stuff, it's kind of designed more for OEMs. You know, you guys can go and install it yourself. There's instructions on TechNet how to do it. It's kind of not, you know, not for the faint-hearted. There's a whole bunch of stuff you've got to do. It's kind of more designed, you know, for OEMs to do this when they're actually shipping their different devices. So let's kind of talk about what some of these kind of, you know, cheap devices are. And I've got a few different ones. Up here. So this first one is basically an 8-inch kind of, you know, companion style device. Nice rubberized. This will probably hit the New Zealand market for $199 at retail. And this is a full Windows device running Windows 8.1 Pro. It's got a, you know, mini HDMI port, USB ports, all that kind of stuff. You know, proper operating system, multiple user accounts, you can do all those kind of things on this device. And I think this is really going to, you know, change people's perception of Windows at that kind of, you know, lower end. But I guess a device like this is kind of only really good for consumption. I mean, it is a Windows device, so you can plug in a Bluetooth mouse and a, you know, USB keyboard and stuff like that. But I think, you know, probably some of the more interesting ones are when you start to get into the kind of, you know, 10-inch space. And so this is a kind of a 10-inch convertible style tablet. This will be hitting the New Zealand market for about $299 plus GST at retail. And so this has got a 64-bit bay trail. It's got a detachable keyboard. Like I said, it's a full Windows device running an x86 chip. It's a bay trail T chip. And all of these kind of low-cost devices that I'm talking about, people can also choose to put a 3G radio modem in these for about another $40-$50. So we think there's we're going to see a lot of growth kind of in this in this kind of low end. And it has this kind of wireless keyboard that I showed you there. Some people kind of more prefer the kind of clamshell style detachable that look kind of more like a traditional kind of laptop, but it has the detachable kind of 2-in-1. So this is basically the same kind of insides as that other device I showed you, but it actually detaches into that kind of 2-in-1 design. And again, about $299 retail for a device like that. Those styler devices are where we think the market's going to go, where the OEMs have kind of moved the CPU, memory, RAM, and stuff from underneath the keyboards to behind the back of the screens. But we also see that a lot of people also still continue to buy the convertible 2-in-1s rather than the detachable 2-in-1s. So this is another design that'll be out here in New Zealand pretty soon as well. This again is about the kind of $299 plus GST price point. This device here, you're actually able to choose what sort of CPU you want in it. You might want a Celeron, you might want an i3, and this device also has a. You can also get this with a 3G radio in it as well. So I think it's going to be a pretty interesting value proposition for that low end of the market, that consumer end, and education, lower kind of education as well. We also see a bunch of stuff happening, in the Android space. Probably a lot of you are familiar with the likes of the Chromecast, the Apple TV AirPlay style devices, or even those little kind of Android TVs and TV on sticks. And so this is an example of one of these full Intel devices. There's a bay trail chip inside here, Wi-Fi, ABG, Bluetooth 4. 16 gig of flash, a gig of RAM, so this can run full Windows, HDMI port, plug into the side of your TV, plug in a USB to power it, and that's a full Windows device. And these will be out here in New Zealand again before the end of the calendar year. So great as a desktop replacement for plugging into your TV, streaming your movies that you got from your auntie or things like that. And But what are we kind of, so those are just a couple of the things that we are helping our partners to do. And like I said, there's worldwide, there's going to be about 86 new designs that'll be coming out over the coming kind of 6 or 7 weeks. But there's also a bunch of stuff that we continue to do in Windows. And I kind of mentioned the fact that we've changed some stuff in the kernel and allowed Windows to run on a gig of RAM and 16 gigs of disk footprint. We did that in Windows 8.1 update. We released Windows Phone 8.1 a little while ago, where we converged the OS, even more, particularly around the application platform with the Windows RT runtime and the ability to run universal apps. And pretty soon we'll be talking about what we're actually doing in the underlying Windows space as well. And we'll be announcing our next version of Windows, which is codenamed Threshold, and this will be announced pretty soon. I'm not going to make any big announcements about it today and lose my job, but look for this in the in the coming weeks. One of the things this is really going to enable is a consistent experience, a familiar experience that tailored to different screen sizes, like I said, right from the smallest, cheapest smartphones all the way up onto your traditional hybrid laptops, kind of all-in-one devices as well. One of the things that we are going to be doing in this next release is making sure that there's a lot more value for people that are using Windows 7 in a traditional mode with mouse and desktop without touch, And we've obviously listened to the feedback in the industry about what the experience is of, you know, of using the kind of modern interface. And so we're going to give you guys as IT pros a lot more flexibility and control in terms of managing, you know, not just being able to enable the old start menu, but also enabling a lot more of the underlying, you know, enterprise stuff in terms of manageability of the start screen and all those kind of shortcuts. All of that stuff, you know, is coming pretty soon. So this is an example of what that's going to look like. So you know, one of the things that we think is our kind of, you know, unique value proposition, you know, is choice. It's the choice of different OEMs, of different price points, of different form factors, of different ways of using devices, of all of the different interaction methods, whether you're using a mouse, a keyboard, touch, stylus. You know, that's a pretty unique value proposition, particularly around the stylus. We've got some pretty cool stuff that we've already delivered today and will continue to deliver, you know, in Windows around, you know, the pen and digital inking. It's a real, you know, unique value proposition that we have when it comes to productivity. And so that's, you know, I think one of the pretty interesting things you're going to see from us is, hey, you know, we know that these kind of consumption media style tablets are pretty popular. It doesn't take much to kind of look around the room and see people how people are converting their media style tablets into creation devices by plugging in Logitech Bluetooth keyboards. And you know, that's something that we're really going to kind of hit home with Windows, is the fact that, hey, it's a single device. You can do all those consumption media style experiences, you know, as well as using it as a full PC for doing real work, you know, with a mouse and being able to do those things. When we launched Surface Pro 3 into the New Zealand market, you know, a couple of weeks back, we did some kind of interesting surveys around, you know, working professionals across the region. And you know, what we see is there's a whole bunch of these professionals that, you know, are what we kind of call, you know, dual users. They're using technology to kind of balance their work and their home lives. And it doesn't take too much to imagine that there's, you know, so many of these people, they're not bound to a desk. They're, you know, they're out and about. And you know, we see almost 50% of these people are basically carrying around, you know, a tablet and a laptop for doing real work and all of the kind of accessories, dongles, power cords, and all that kind of stuff. And that's, you know, one of the design things that we think about when we work on devices like Surface and we work with our OEM partners on these kind of reference design, you know, two-in-one style devices, you know, is to really kind of push the boundaries around kind of converging those devices, you know, into one. And you know, some of the things that we hear from people that use these tablets, you know, it's the kind of low power ARM chips they struggle with, the fact that you don't have a mouse, particularly when you're doing stuff like, you know, VDI or you know, running kind of office style apps. And that's, you know, those are some of the reasons why we think these kind of two-in-one devices like Surface, like Helix, like ElitePad, like the Toshiba Z10T are really the kind of future of these different PCs. One of the things that I do in, you know, in my role here at Microsoft in New Zealand is really kind of help, you know, customers and partners really kind of, you know, cut through the maze of all these different devices that are out there. And one of the things that we know is that you don't actually get productivity from your users just by chucking more and more devices at them. It's really about finding the, you know, the right device. And we've kind of, you know, put together this interesting kind of matrix here that helps people, you know, understand, hey, so, you know, what am I going to do on my device? Am I going to consume stuff? Am I going to sit there on the couch and read the New Zealand Herald or the Dominion Post? Or am I actually going to do some, you know, AutoCAD, you know, in Photoshop? And this kind of thing here really helps particularly business people, you know, understand, hey, well, what sort of device should I buy? It astounds me just the number of customers that I see that have, you know, four or five devices, a phone, an iPad, a desktop, a laptop, and we think it's just, you know, crazy, both in terms of the capex of acquiring them and also the kind of opex and actually, you know, managing all these devices. One of the kind of exercises you can do is actually sit there and understand, kind of profile your different, you know, users, understand the different things they do, and kind of map that to the different areas on this chart here of where different devices make sense. And I'm more than happy to, you know, I can share these slides and this document with you guys later on. And so the way we think this is going to kind of play out in the industry really is hey, if you want a you know, a highly available, you know, low content consumption, low content creation device, you know, go for a smartphone. If you want to have you know, a full powerful PC for doing AutoCAD or Photoshop, you know, go for a PC. But one of the reasons why we think the kind of hybrid really makes the most sense, these particularly the detachable two-in-ones, is the fact that they can do all those things. And so rather than buying all these different devices, I can just buy one. It cuts across all those different scenarios. And the way that we really think this is going to play out in the market is that people are going to end up with two different devices. A smartphone, which they carry everywhere. I'm sure every single one of you got a smartphone on you right now, you know, as well as a hybrid device that lets me, you know, do the laptop productivity, you know, experience, and then lets me detach my keyboard and use it like a tablet, you know, curl up on the couch and you know, browse the web or browse TradeMe or, you know, whatever it is. I think one of the other interesting things to, you know, to think about this is kind of, you know, the different styles of form factors. Probably a lot of you, when you go out to market and, you know, buy new devices and things like that, you know, you're probably still on the right-hand side of the slide here in terms of buying, you know, laptop devices or, you know, buying desktop devices. Where we think there's going to be a huge amount of growth is in the middle here because of the reasons that I said before. You know, you've got a device that's really you know, a lot more portable, but really kind of cuts across both those kind of scenarios. So let's just talk a little bit about what we're doing about phone. I'm not going to kind of go through all the Windows Phone 8.1 stuff. You know, a lot of you know about what's kind of in the operating system. We think that really one of the big future growths, and it already is now really with phone, is phablet. So this is it's obviously not a Microsoft term, but basically, you know, 5.5 inch and bigger. You know, funny that Apple announced a 5.5-inch iPhone 6 Plus yesterday. You know, huge amount of growth in this. You know, already particularly in some of the emerging markets in Asia, already kind of 20% of the market, and also some of the other, you know, big markets, you know, Europe and North America, significant growth in there. And I had a bit of a walk around the room before. I saw people with using OnePlus Ones. I saw a bunch of, you know, Galaxy Notes. I saw a bunch of Nexus 5 devices. Really, you know, phones are getting bigger and bigger, and it's because with a phone like this, you can actually do, you know, real work, and it's connected. And I think we're going to see some pretty interesting things happen inside phones. You know, the processors in these phones are getting so fast now that in the not too distant future, we're going to be able to dock our phones. They're going to be able to drive multiple screens. You're going to be able to, you know, plug in peripherals and mice and keyboards and things like that to actually be able to do some real proper work on these phones rather than just, you know, browsing and, you know, and kind of reading, you know, reading email. So, you know, we've had a bunch of different devices in the, you know, in the Nokia space, right from the kind of cheapest Lumia 520s up to our kind of hero phones like the Lumia 1020 with the 41 megapixel camera, and then, you know, a couple of the different phablets that kind of were never ranged here in New Zealand. The Lumia 1320, which, you know, would have been a kind of a $400 or $500 device, and then the 1520, which, you know, probably would have been a $700, you know, $800 device. And so we've always believed that when it comes to these kind of, you know, different screen sizes, there's kind of no one size fits all. It's about kind of finding the, you know, the right screen. So that was our kind of our, you know, our previous portfolio of Nokia phones. What we've got, what we've just kind of released into the New Zealand market, maybe over the last couple of weeks, is kind of our, you know, our lowest cost Windows phone that we've ever had. So this is available on Vodafone and Spark. It's a $169 device. We see a, you know, a lot of uptake this and customers that want a low cost, you know, a low cost fleet phone to give all to their users, you know, or for users that are kind of upgrading from a feature phone. And I think it really kind of shows off the power of the Windows Phone 8.1 operating system in terms of it never lags out. It's got all of the security features. It's got an awesome experience when it, you know, when it comes to, you know, your email and contacts and calendar and all those, you know, all those kind of things. The other new device that we brought out into the Nokia brought out in their portfolio, maybe 2 or 3 months ago into New Zealand is the Lumia 635. So this is a slightly higher end phone. This is available on all three of the carriers, so 2Degrees as well. This is a $299 retail dollar phone. Still has a beautiful, nice, pure black screen, so you can use it outside. This guy also has a Snapdragon 400 that lets you do the Miracast, the wireless display, which is how I'm driving my slides at the moment. And then the third device that we bought out, this calendar year is the Lumia 930. And this is what we kind of talk about as our kind of hero phone, as our most kind of high-end phone, our flagship phone with a beautiful industrial design, wireless charging, showcasing some of the kind of pure view, imaging technology. And this one here is currently exclusive on the Vodafone network. A couple of weeks ago in Germany, we also announced how we're filling out the portfolio and also bringing in some kind of new mid-tier phones. And nothing to announce today about when or if these phones are coming to New Zealand, but we have announced these overseas. And the first one is the Lumia 735. And this one, we really kind of think about this device as really catering to the generation of people that love taking selfies and love, taking photos of themselves on Skype. So we've specifically put an amazing camera in this device. It's got a 5-megapixel front-facing camera with a pretty interesting focal length. So in terms of taking a photo with it, you get a lot of a lot of screen area, or a lot of capture on this device. It's also got wireless charging, so it also supports Miracast and a 720p screen. The next device that we've announced overseas is the Lumia 830. And this guy here is really trying to bring some of those flagship innovations that I mentioned before in terms of the pure view imaging and camera down into a much better price point for consumers. So we still kind of think about this as really a mid-tier phone, but really trying to bring things like wireless charging and things like the pure view imaging down into the low end. One of the other devices that we launched overseas a couple of weeks ago is the first Nokia or Microsoft branded Miracast adapter, and so this is kind of interesting. It plugs into HDMI and power, as you can see on the left there, and on the right it kind of has this little pucky stick black thing or white thing you can see here that basically enables you to grab your phone, touch on this, does NFC onto your phone and essentially turns on the Miracast. So you can imagine sitting in a room with a bunch of different people with Lumia phones, you can kind of pass around that pucky stick and it'll automatically enable Miracast on that device. It's just a standard Miracast adapter, so any Miracast device will work. It's just a standard receiver, so basically every single Windows 8.1 device, pretty much every single Windows phone 8.1 with a Snapdragon 400 and up, all the different Galaxy and Nexus devices will all work with this Miracast. So let's get on. That's some of the phone stuff. Let's talk about some of the stuff that's kind of happening with the kind of traditional PCs. And I guess it's been a pretty interesting journey over the last couple of years of what's been happening in the industry with Intel in terms of ramping up the performance. And if you just kind of take a step back and think about it, in the space of 4 years, we've gone from having the thinnest laptop or PC style device of being 26 millimeters down to 7 millimeters, which is pretty thin. We've gone from we've had a 4 times reduction in terms of the thermal design of processors, which means that we're now really at the state where we can have these full power devices without needing to have a fan inside them. In those 4 years, we've had a 7 times graphics improvement in terms of graphics performance with the new HD 5300 Intel graphics that's on the verge of coming out. And in terms of battery life, with all those things around the heat and the performance of these devices, we've basically halved the battery size and doubled the battery life. So there's some pretty interesting things that are really happening innovations in that space. And it's really almost to the stage now where the stuff that Intel is doing, it's really starting to get down in terms of the wattage, really kind of getting down into those ARM style wattages. So I'm just going to kind of run you through a bunch of the different kind of form factors of devices, the ones that we see being used pretty heavily in business, here in New Zealand. And the first one I'll show you here is the Lenovo X1 Carbon. I think we've got one of these on the Microsoft stand. So this is the kind of thinnest, lightest 14-inch Ultrabook that's out there. It's available with 4G. It's got the latest fourth generation Haswell chip on it. And Lenovo have done a bunch of cool things around having this kind of digital interface here in terms of the function keys that kind of operate in interesting ways. And so it's a pretty thin, pretty popular device here in the here in the New Zealand market. So that that's your kind of traditional laptop. I guess some of the new styles of form factors that we see coming out is when I talk about 2-in-1s. The initial wave of 2-in-1s. Were what we saw as the convertibles. So rather than the detachables, the 2-in-1s that are convertibles. And this has basically got the same insides as the X1. This is what they call the ThinkPad Yoga. It's got a digitizer on the screen. You can see it kind of rotates around, so I can use it like a tablet. It's not detachable, so all the guts and the memory and CPU and stuff are in the base, but it really kind of changes the perception of what a laptop is. It's got great Lenovo build quality, it's got a stylus, it's got a proper digitizer. You can obviously use that device in all sorts of interesting ways in terms of crossing over from being a laptop to a tablet. The HP equivalent of this is the Revolve 810. This again has been pretty popular in New Zealand, and we see customers buying hundreds and thousands of these. Different style of device in terms of rotating around like that. And probably many of you have got users in your organisations that are using those just as well. It's in a ruggedized case, that one. So. I mentioned some of the kind of low cost devices, and this is I showed those right at the start. We also see five or six of the different OEMs have bought in 8-inch Windows tablets as well. So there's one from Acer, there's one from Toshiba, there's one from Dell, there's one from Asus, there's one from Lenovo. The Lenovo one's probably the nicest one on the market in terms of it's got a beautiful HD screen. It's also available with 4G in New Zealand, and one of the cool things Lenovo has done is made sure that there's a real ecosystem around being able to add accessories onto these devices. So you can see it's pretty thin. It's got the Bay Trail chip, so lasts all day. Lenovo have done some cool stuff, like they ship it with these accessories that protect the screen. You turn the device around the back there. It's got a little flip here, and when I do that, it basically starts up the camera app on Windows, so I can take a photo straight away. So some pretty cool thought and design that's gone into that. The other one that we see is an interesting solution for kind of field workers is the Lenovo ThinkPad 8 in this protector case. And this gives it that kind of semi-ruggedization that I mentioned before. It's got a nice cover on the screen, so I can touch it with dirty hands, and I can also stand it up and use it on a desk. So Lenovo have done a bunch of innovations there to make sure that people can use these devices in all sorts of different ways. Then we kind of get on to the bigger style Atom devices with the Bay Trail, the 64-bit Bay Trail. And these couple of these devices I'm going to show you, they've been out in the market now for about two or three months. The thing that's kind of exciting here with 64-bit Bay Trail now is it means that you guys can standardize. You're probably already using 64-bit on your other Windows devices. This has really been the first time that you can also deploy 64-bit down onto your Windows tablets. Both of these devices I'm about to show you as well are also available with LTE. And because they've got 64-bit, you can also get them with 4GB of RAM. So it's kind of the first time that we've seen these Bay Trail devices really being able to be used as a full kind of desktop replacement for most users. So this is the ThinkPad Tablet 10. Again, Lenovo have done a bunch of interesting things around having a whole ecosystem, you know, with accessories. So they've got it available with the dock, they've got it available with this protector case. They've even done some cool stuff like this protector case. You know, it still lets me use it in the dock, you know, when I've got it in that case, and hand straps and things like that. So bunch of cool things. It's available with a digitizer. It's, like I said, up to 128 gigs of space, 4 gig of RAM, you know, and 4G. And that's we've sold a lot of those over the last 2 or 3 months since they've been available. The other, you know, big seller in that kind of, you know, 10-inch 64-bit Bay Trail, 4 gig of RAM, 4G, 128 gig memory is the HP equivalent. And so this is the HP ElitePad 1000. It's basically the same kind of insides as the Lenovo. It's available with a, you know, with a digitizer. It's available with things like this, like the productivity case that kind of turns it into a, you know, into a laptop. And when I get it out of the case, it's a pretty thin tablet. It's too hard to get out. one of the cool things again that HP have really specialized in is making sure that there's an ecosystem in terms of using these, you know, in vertical scenarios. So, you know, they've got the productivity experience like I mentioned here. They've got these kind of interesting, you know, jackets that let you accessorize them and give them extra batteries and USB and things like that. They've got specific security scenarios where you might want to have smart card readers and things like that. They've got some interesting ruggedization jackets, and they've also got some new jackets that they haven't quite announced yet for some specific vertical industries that they'll be announcing pretty soon. So other device I'll show you, and this one has been pretty popular in New Zealand. This one's about to go end of life. This is actually running the third generation Ivy Bridge, so it's a kind of an older chip. But you know, this was the first 2-in-1 detachable to come out into the market. You know, Lenovo's been a great partner of ours. They continue to do a whole bunch of innovation, you know, in the PC space. And so this is it's basically a great, you know, business ultrabook that lets you use it, you know, like a tablet, convert it into an ultrabook, you know, and use this in all sorts of interesting ways. And it's got a big battery in the base as well. So these, you know, there's a few of these still available, but this is about to go end of life, and I'll talk about what the replacement for that device is, you know, pretty soon. That one's also available with 3G. Last kind of hybrid I'll talk about is the Toshiba, and this one has been very popular in New Zealand. One of the cool things about this device is that customers can kind of leave this keyboard base sitting on their desk, and it's effectively a port replicator. So rather than having to carry around a whole bunch of dongles, it's got a full-size Ethernet, full-size VGA, full-size, you know, HDMI. It is a proper detachable, so I can, you know, use it like that. It's got a digitizer pen. It has a full-size pen that comes in the box as well. That's been a very popular device from Toshiba, certified 4G for using on the Spark network as well. Dell have got a pretty similar device. Dell have done a bunch of, you know, innovation around the accessories. You know, this is the Dell Venue Pro 11. They've also done a bunch of things with the digitizer, the docks, the accessories, the converting this into a laptop, device as well. So you know, last few I'll talk about is one of our partners that we work with around ruggedization. And so this is the kind of, you know, one of the first 7-inch style Windows devices to come out in New Zealand. I think this is shipping pretty soon. So 7-inch, fully ruggedized. I can drop this thing on the ground. It's and a whole bunch of different accessories available in terms of printers and RFID and barcode scanners and things like that. There's also a couple of different models that are available for bigger screen size. So this is the same similar style device as that, but it's a 10-inch Panasonic. We've sold a bunch of these into different customers like Frucor and Fonterra and Fulton Hogan down in Christchurch. It's funny how they all start with F. You know, so 10-inch, it's IP65 rated, so you can get it wet. You can, it can, you know, works well in dust. It's a mil-spec device. Again, I can chuck it around. It doesn't break. It's a, you know, really good device. And then the last kind of ruggedized one I'll show you is we've worked with this partner of Motion for years and years and years. They were one of the first kind of Windows partners doing ruggedized devices. They only do Windows devices. They don't do any other, you know, OSs. And this is the first time they've actually come out with a big device. So this is a 12.5-inch, you know, full HD ruggedized. Again, it's an IP65 device, so you can get it wet, you can get it dusty. A whole bunch of cool things like user replaceable batteries. When I pull the battery out, the device still works for 5 minutes, so I can replace the battery while the thing's going. And they've also, in this release of the Motion R12, they've also done a whole bunch of things around the accessories for the device in terms of being able to, you know, plug on keyboard docks, mounting kits for in vehicles and trucks, you know, cases so I can carry these things around and, you know, and still use it. So this is a, you know, really cool device. We see a bunch of these going into the likes of, you know, councils and those kind of, you know, field workers as well. And one of the great things about that device is beautiful, beautiful screen, even using it outside in the kind of bright, bright sunlight. So let's, talk about, you know, Surface a little bit. And obviously, you know, we're up to our third version of the Surface device. We've done a bunch of innovation in the chips of this device and the way that we've built it. I didn't make it to the keynote, so apparently this was talked about, you know, pretty heavily in the keynote on Tuesday, was it? This was the device when we first started doing Surface. This was really the device that we always wanted to build, and we've actually built about 100 custom components inside this, you know, to get this so thin. It's about 9.1 millimeters. So this is the thinnest device, Intel i3, i5, i7 device on the market at the moment. And one of the interesting things that I've been lucky enough to have one of these for about 3 or 4 months, and one of the things that I love about this that stands it apart from some of the other categories of devices is that when you're using the keyboard, you kind of don't, there's nothing in the keyboard, it's just a cover that you type on. And so I've got all of that, you know, power and Wi-Fi and heat and stuff away from sensitive areas, you know, of your body. And you'll also find that you're able the kickstand is really just amazing. And you know, it's not just using it on your lap. It's interesting things like watching a movie on the plane and clipping it into the seat in front of you like that and using it like that. Or being at the gym and clipping the device over a stand like that. There's a whole bunch of things like that you can't do with a laptop. And so this is a device that we really think is the first time that we've had one of these full PC laptop style devices, but in the guise, you know, of a tablet. And so you'll find, you know, and hopefully some of you have bought some of these with the TechEd, you know, discount offer, you'll find there's all sorts of, you know, cool ways that you can use this that you just can't, you know, use with a laptop. And when we think about, you know, what it takes to be a laptop replacement, we kind of think about four things. It's got to have a great screen, so 2160 1440 screen. You know, we've changed the aspect ratio to a 3:2 aspect ratio. So this, you know, this was the Surface Pro 2, which is a 16:9 aspect ratio. This is the aspect ratio of my Surface Pro 3, which is, you know, 3:2. And what you'll find is when you're using it, you know, a lot of the time you guys are going to be using it like this for taking notes, you know, that kind of A4. It's basically the same size as an A4 piece of paper. You know, second thing we think about what it takes to be a laptop replacement, you know, is thin and light. And so 790 or so grams, 9.1 millimeters, so really, really, really thin, really, really light. Great battery life. We've specifically built we've specifically sourced the highest quality batteries that are available anywhere in the world to get it into this device. This is rated for 20% more drain cycles than an iPad Air. So very, very high quality, you know, battery inside this, and I honestly can get 9 hours of battery out of my out of my device. And I guess the last thing about what we think it takes to be one of these laptop replacements is really, you know, performance and productivity. We've put a powerful chip inside this. It can, you can pretty much throw any of your information worker or even things like AutoCAD, Photoshop onto this, up to 512 gig SSD, up to 8 gigs of RAM, all the way up to a Core i7. And then we also take it down to, a Core i3 in terms of the, the kind of value, value end of the market. So, pretty cool device, and we continue to, we'll continue to kind of innovate and do stuff in the, in the Surface business. One of the last things that I love to show off about my Surface is how I have replaced all of my other devices. So we never had the original Surface Pro 2 dock available in New Zealand. We are shipping the Surface Pro 3 dock now. And this is how I've got my desk set up at home. I've got three Dell MDP 1.2A DisplayPort daisy-chainable monitors. And so this, when you turn your Surface Pro, you can literally use it as a desktop replacement. So we've got all the connectors you need on this, three USB 3s, two USB 2s, a mini DisplayPort. Like I said, the DisplayPort is a daisy chain, gigabit Ethernet. And we've also thought about things like, how can we, still provide value into the device in terms of when I dock it, you can still get to the other USB 3 and the other mini DisplayPort here. And in terms of, this device is future-proofed in terms of the way we've built the connector. And we also have decided, 12 inches is what we think is the great kind of crossover between productivity and, and mobility. And that's the kind of form factor of the device that we see, going forward into the future Surface devices. There it is. And last thing I'll kind of talk about Surface is we've made sure this time that we've got a whole range of different accessories that are available for the Surface. So, folio cases, semi-ruggedized cases, so you can kind of use it out and about. Things like mobile kiosks, like you might see inside hospitals. Things like locking docks that use RFID. So this would let you, for example, have it on a kiosk, kind of check the device out, use it. Charging carts and cabinets, so you might use these in schools. We've got a whole bunch of different of these devices. Things like stands that you might use on a point of sale or a retail display or a showcase. Display frame style things for Surface Pro, or even maybe kiosk scenarios like you might see at a conference like this where people want to take your name and address to kind of spam you later on, or even little consoles or stuff like this. So bunch of pretty cool stuff that we're doing there. So let's kind of look out over the next 6, 7, 8 months and kind of think about what's kind of coming in this kind of PC space. It's kind of interesting, we talk about competition and we talk about how Microsoft kind of works best when there is competition. Same story with Intel. Intel had a huge threat with ARM, they still do, but it really shows the power of actually investing money, in R&D to actually, get into this kind of, relatively low cost, high performance kind of chip market. So I guess where we're at the moment is Haswell on this slide. So fourth generation, probably the device that most of you use. Intel have basically just bought out the Broadwell chips, and so this is the fifth generation of the Intel Core i. They've just released a chip called the Core M. It'll be coming out on devices over the next couple of months. But I think the one that gets really interesting is when they bring out the Core M V Pro or the Broadwell Y, which is not really going to be out on devices until about probably January, February in New Zealand next year. This will be the time when Broadwell gets really, really performant at the kind of low end. Some pretty cool stuff that Intel are doing there. They've also, in the Haswell timeframe, they also bought out Baytrail, which was the kind of Atom system on a chip. It's the chip that powers those Elite Pads and the Lenovo ThinkPad Tablet 10. It's the mainstream device for having 4G LTE because Intel have integrated the mobile broadband, into system on a chip in terms of, giving you mobile broadband but still having great battery life. And in this kind of Broadwell timeframe, Intel will also be innovating around the Atom. They'll be bringing out a chip called the Cherry Trail chip, which again is going to about double the performance of what you see in Bay Trail. So they're not sitting back. They're really going to continue to do stuff there. And with Cherry Trail, we're going to see a bunch of devices that have a lot more stuff built into them, NFC, eDrives, which is the kind of hardware-based encryption for BitLocker, things like Wi-Fi Direct, which is how I'm actually doing my Miracast at the moment, as I'm connected to the internet with my WLAN card here, and I'm connected to a little Miracast adapter here as well. And I think, you know, one of the other pretty cool things we're going to see is I think we're really going to start to see the end of wires. So not just being able to do, you know, WiDi or Miracast like I am here, complete getting rid of wires. So wireless charging for your devices, wireless display on your desk, being able to drive 4K monitors, and being able to drive two of them. So kind of getting rid of DisplayPort and getting rid of HDMI. That whole kind of wireless docking kind of solution. And this wireless docking solution is it's a thing called WiGig or Intel Maple Peak. And the wireless transfer in this is 10 times faster than 802.11n. So you're talking about a massive amount of bandwidth, which lets you, be able to, do these wireless displays. And just looking out, another year from that, we're going to see Intel bring out their Skylake chipsets on the Core I series, and then the Willow Trail will replace, Cherry Trail. So pretty cool things happening in this space. And just to give you an idea, I mentioned that, Surface Pro 3 today is 9.1 millimeters. The new Core M chips that Intel have just announced, you'll start to see devices getting down to about 7.2 millimeters. So shaving another couple of millimeters off this. And this is one of the reasons why is that they've actually shrunk the die of these chips, 50% smaller XY for the chip and a 30% Z, so 30% thinner than what you see with Haswell today, and devices like this 60% lower system on a chip idle power. So, bunch of devices that have just recently been announced at Computex and at the IFA show in Berlin last week. We've actually quadrupled the number of Windows 8.1 certified devices just in the last year. So a whole bunch of stuff happening in the in this kind of PC. And I really think when you think about this innovation, this Core M, the fact that we can get these chips down, I think 2015 is going to really be the year of the PC with these new chips. So a couple of the devices that got announced last week was this new interesting 13-inch Dell detachable that they call the Dell Latitude 13, two-in-one. It got some interesting stuff in terms of it uses the same kind of docking solution as the Dell Venue Pro 11 that I showed you before. It's got an interesting USB dongle that does, Ethernet, HDMI, USB, VGA, all through the same port, and it's got a pretty interesting kind of charging solution as well. One that HP will be bringing out into the New Zealand market over about the next month is this HP Pro X2 612, which is a traditional, two-in-one detachable. We think this one's going to be pretty popular here in New Zealand. This beautiful device from ASUS, this one here is 7.3 millimeters thin. So this is going to be an amazing device. This will probably be out January, kind of February. So very, very, very thin. This will be one of the thinnest tablets on the market. One of the other ones that was announced last week in terms of a pretty interesting form factor is the Acer Aspire R13 that kind of folds up and into about six different modes in terms of notebook, easel, stand, pen, tent, and display. So you're able to use this device in all sorts of cool ways. One of these ones, we've actually got this one on the Microsoft stand, the Acer Switch 10, pretty low-cost detachable device. And then one that I think is going to be an amazing device here in New Zealand is an upgraded version of the ThinkPad Lenovo Helix, which is running the Core M chip. And so this is, it's the latest Broadwell. It's a, two-in-one detachable. It'll be available with kind of worldwide 4G, LTE. digitizer. This is, I think this would be a really, really cool and, you know, and popular device in the market. Like I said, about 40% better graphics, about 50% better battery than the previous, you know, third generation Intel with Helix. So the last thing I'll just quickly touch on is you know, what's happening with Miracast. You know, I mentioned that, you know, Microsoft has or Nokia have bought out a Miracast adapter. If you've, you know, probably some of you have played with Chromecast and Apple TVs and stuff like that. You know, Miracast is an industry standard that basically uses an H.264 stream to encode your video onto the device. So I'm just using my Surface Pro here. I'm using this little Miracast adapter here, which is one of the most popular devices that works really, really well. It's got a, you know, HDMI, and it just natively works with Windows 8.1. You go into your projection settings, you tell it to connect to a wireless display. Some of you probably, if you scan for Wi-Fi networks, you'll find a, you know, a Wi-Fi network set up that device is, you know, is broadcasting into. And we see all sorts of customers, you know, starting to use this wireless display with Miracast. And so when you've probably heard the name WiDi, you know, WiDi is kind of just Intel's brand for Miracast. And so, you know, scenarios like I'm using here in terms of being able to walk around, you know, and project, you know, boardrooms, teaching scenarios, all sorts of kind of interesting ways. One of the best and the most reliable wireless display technology that I've ever found is from this vendor called ActionTech, and they have a bunch of different devices that are available. And I've actually put one of these under someone's seat. And so if you have a look under your seat, you'll find a business card, and bring that up to me at the end, and you can. You can take one of those away. So look, I'm going to start to wrap up. I hope that's given you a bit of insight into, you know, what Microsoft is doing in the devices space, in the phone, in the mobile, in the tablet space, what we're doing with, you know, future version of Windows, what we're doing with Intel to really lower the cost of these devices. You know, I hope you've found this interesting. Please follow me on Twitter. If you want to see any of these devices and play with any of these devices, I'll be in the hub and the Microsoft stand at lunchtime today. I'll be there at bear o'clock today as well, and I'll also be in the expert zone tomorrow afternoon as well. So come and have a chat. More than happy to, you know, let you guys play with these devices. And also all of these devices, we've got these available to loan out and help you guys, you know, do evaluations to help you kind of, you know, find the right device. So please complete your session evaluations, and thanks very much for your time. Have a great TechEd. Cheers, guys.